Amen. I feel at home. Amen. Appreciate the preaching we've already heard. And boy, it's been a blessing, the praise and the worship, and I thank God for it. We're in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. In between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Lamentations, a book you don't hear too much about. Lamentation is the closing remarks or the things the Holy Ghost penned down from the heart of Jeremiah, the prophet, who prophesied through the time period of God's judgment of Judah and the lower part of Israel. And Jeremiah was a unique prophet, amen. He was, him and Job has a lot to relate together. Though Job had a family, a wife, and children, and he lost everything, Jeremiah had a ministry, and he lost everything. Jeremiah's ministry begun in the great revivals of Josiah. Josiah the king had came to the throne at the age of 8 years old, and God began to use Josiah to move the nation back toward the center line of God's will. Manasseh had brought the nation to a very wicked, ungodly state. His son came to the throne, ruled 2 years. His servants killed him. He was an ungodly man. Josiah came to the throne, began to bring a revival to Judah. And under Josiah, God raised up Jeremiah, a young man at the time. He would very possibly have been born just before Josiah or just after Josiah came to the throne. It's depending on his age there. It's hard sometimes to decipher. But Jeremiah became the prophet and was the prophet in Jerusalem through all those years until the carrying away of the people of God to Babylon. And then Jeremiah was carried away outside of his will to Egypt, and as far as we know, that's where he died. But Jeremiah suffered through the end of his ministry greatly. He wept and was broken when Josiah died. If you remember the scripture, Josiah was that great man of God who wanted the temple restored and the worship restored and the sacrifice restored and the offering restored and the priesthood restored and the Word of God brought back into the picture. And God did a great work in the hearts of God's people with Josiah. When God had sent the king of Egypt, actually the general there, to come up into another nation, and Josiah decided to go down and get involved in a battle with him. He told him, he said, "You don't have any business being here. God don't want you here. I don't have any conflict with you." And for whatever reason, I've read that many times, Brother Larry, and just wept. I said, "Josiah, why are you doing this?" And it could have been pride. That's exactly what the other general said. "Your pride, you're coming out here to mess with me. I'm on a mission for God." And Josiah died in that battle. When Josiah died in that battle, the nation plummeted into apostasy and wickedness above and beyond what could be imagined in a short period of time. Everything that Josiah had accomplished began to be cut away and destroyed by those who come to the throne and begin to rule the nation of Judah. It was during that time period that God's pronouncement of judgment was coming to pass, and God had brought judgment through the Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan, his general, is coming up. And they're beginning to take the cities of Judah and begin to capture them. And Jerusalem was the last place that was taken. And Jerusalem was surrounded for 2 years by the military before they ever surrendered. 2 years they were besieged, and they ate their own young. They drunk their own urine. They was at such a state that it was unbelievable. There was no doubt ladies miscarried and ate their children. What a time. It was unbelievable. Jeremiah wept and wept and wept because two things majorly. God had set forth twice a condition that he would spare Jerusalem. Number one, he said, "If you'll close the gates on the Sabbath day and have no business on the Sabbath day and honor the Sabbath day," he said, "I'll spare Jerusalem." And they wouldn't do it. And the armies come and was going to take Jerusalem, and they went away. And they said, well, you know, we've won the victory. And they went right back to the way they lived. And God said, I'll bring them right back up and take it over. I'll bring the military right back. He also said again, he said, if you will honor the year of Jubilee and the seventh year, if you'll turn all your Hebrew servants free and obey what I said concerning servitude and setting them free. And they said, we'll do that. And they turned them all free and set them all free and released them of their debt. And then when that army went away, they went and got all their servants and brought them all back, put them back in slavery again. And God said, that's the last straw. Nothing now can change. It wouldn't matter who prayed, it wouldn't matter who preached, it wouldn't matter who done what. The judgment of God is coming. And during this time period, because Jeremiah preached that God's judgment will be absolute, they persecuted him, they abused him, they mistreated him. It was awful, the things he went with. As he aged, he, of course, his endurance was less, his stamina was less, and he even got discouraged and broken in the midst of this. They put him down in a dry well during that time of besiegement, and there was nothing to eat, and they dropped him in a dry well, and of course there was mud in the bottom. There was no water, but it was mud and muck in the bottom of it. Left him there to die. Hadn't been for a foreigner going to the king, said, look, Jeremiah's going to die in that place. Pull him out. They had to put rotten rags under his armpits to put the ropes under to keep him pulling his skin off his arms. And they pulled him to the surface. His suffering was great. And so God allowed him, it's an amazing book, the Lamentations, allowed him to write this book of his sorrow. The book is unique, more unique in ways that we can't, some of the ways are beyond me. Brother Raines mentioned numerology. This book has a lot of it. And I'm not smart enough to figure it all out. The first two chapters and the last two chapters are 22 verses each. And in those 22 verses, the first verse of each and on through is, if you have a Hebrew lexicon, you're reading in Hebrew, you'll see that every verse starts with one letter of the Hebrew language. But when you come to the middle chapter, chapter number 3, it's 66 verses long. So God takes three verses, 1, 2, 3, and it starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then 4, 5, 6, a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through, and use it in sets of three to produce the Hebrew alphabet and these 66 verses. And it's dead center, the book of Lamentations. And in this chapter, I believe it's a messianic chapter myself. There's going to be, I'm sure if you're a student or read, there would be some opposition. But he is saying in the first part of the chapter what God did to him. But he comes in the middle part of the chapter, and I'm not preaching this, but I want you to see this unique. It's what God did to himself in verse 29. Always before, he is saying, he did this to me. But in verse 29, he said, he putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. In other words, what happened to Jeremiah could not bring hope, but what God was willing to do to himself did bring hope. And he said in verse number 30, he giveth his cheek. It wasn't Jeremiah's cheek. He was given the Lord Jesus' cheek. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. I believe it is a messianic psalm in ways probably more deeper than I can explain. But I believe that God is saying, just as he did in many times, Israel was a picture. Israel was not the church, but Israel was a picture of the church and a type of the church, just like we heard this morning about the bride, amen. And the Lord says not only that, but Israel was an ensample, and Israel was an example, and Israel was an exhortation to the church about our living for God. And he says in Romans, he said that Israel, because of what they did, and Judah, as they turned their back on God, God set them aside, and the church become the focus place. It is the Gentiles receiving the bride. But he did tell us that that Gentile bride was going to make the same turn toward apostasy, and then he would turn back to the Jew again. Amen. So God is saying to us and giving us, we have the Old Testament. It is a schoolmaster. It is an instructor to us. He says that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That we should not apostatize and go away from the will of God as they went away from the will of God, because God can cut off the Gentile branch and re-implant or graft back in that Jewish branch. Amen. So there's great prophecy in all these verses. So looking at that, having that in mind, we're going to start reading in verse number 1 and trust God to help us. You pray with me as I pray. Ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we need your assistance in everything we do, just to walk down the street, just to drive the automobile across town. Lord, to get ready for to go to bed, we need your help. But oh God, how great it is when we stand in this place, when the Word of God is to be preached and the Word of God is to go out to hearts. No man can place the Word of God in someone else's heart. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Help us this morning. Move our souls that you might be exalted, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Word of God is timely. The prophet's preaching was timely. And so coming out of this time of Josiah's greatness, they had a very difficult time accepting the preaching of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was saying to them, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong direction. They begin to lean toward liberalism, and they begin to lean toward a way of life that was contrary to what God had set forth in the revivals of Jeremiah. That's why it's difficult for us, some of us that grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s and saw the move of God in America and saw altars filled with souls getting saved. Baptismal service were 20, 30, 40, 50. 50, 60 people baptized. I was in one baptismal service. 128 souls got baptized in one service. Amen. I'm telling you, it's hard for us now as we look upon this nation, upon this country, upon the Church of America. It is hard for us as Jeremiah to accept what we see, but it's just as hard for the people we're preaching to that's young to understand what we're saying. Jeremiah was saying, and you know what Ezekiel said? The number one issue was nakedness. He brought out the scripture in chapter 16 and 17 of the book of Ezekiel, and he said one of the number one issues was nakedness. God is saying they begin to lean away from the standard of purity and holiness and righteousness, and they begin to go down a road that God was against. And as they did that, God said, enough is enough. As they started down that liberal road, they begin to break the laws of God and to turn away from the truth, and they begin to desecrate the Sabbath day, and they begin to disrespect their brethren and those who are kin to them, and they begin to disrespect the man of God and those who stood for holiness and righteousness and godliness. And as they did that, God said, you have turned away from the living fountain, and you've hewed you out a fountain, a broken cistern that can hold no water, and they need to turn back to God. Amen. And Jeremiah preached to them that God will destroy this nation. God will destroy this nation. And they kept saying, this is a great nation. We have the temple. We have the house of God. We have all the things of the Lord. God will not destroy this nation. And Jeremiah said, he will destroy it. And they said, you're a spy. You're a traitor. You're a counterfeit. And he said, no, I'm telling you what God's going to do. So Jeremiah begins to write in chapter 3, and I'm not going to deal with all the host of so many things that branch out. And certainly, if you look at this chapter prophetically, you'll see redemption in verse number 58, and you'll see the final judgment of God in verse 59 through 66. And I believe that's revelation, praise God, hallelujah. And I think we're fixing to check out this world. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother, the folding of God has been unfolding fast in our face. as we've looked at the Word of God. Jeremiah starts in verse number 1. You ought to remember he was called of God as a child and accepted that call. He said, I am the man that has seen affliction. Paul could write that as he wrote to the Corinthians about being whipped and stoned and beat with rods and all the forsaking that he went through, amen. And he did that for Jesus, praise God. I am the man that has seen afflictions by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. He is telling the walk that God led him into down through his ministry. I tell you, I was reading not long ago of the early believers as they made their way up through Europe into the Alps, and there those great persecutions took place when the Duke of Savoy turned all the prisoners out of prison if they would just kill Christians, and they slaughtered thousands and thousands of Christians, amen. One of the things they taught in their seminary was to die with courage. Their young men come to seminary and was taught to read the Bible and learn and preach to their people, amen. And then one of the things they taught was how to die with courage. I tell you, that's not what we're teaching today. We're teaching how to build a big ministry, amen. They taught them how to die, and many of them died. Most of them died for their faith, amen. I'm saying there's been great eras of time that it is, time changes again and again and again, and it did in Josiah's day, and it has in our day, and we might, and I believe we're in the last change that's going to take place. He said, verse number 3, surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Jeremiah's expressing his feelings. Jeremiah's expressing the honesty of his soul. May I say to you, you and I may not say what we think, but I tell you, sometimes we think negatively in the way things are going in our life. Amen. Jeremiah probably approached God in the book of Jeremiah maybe more honestly than any prophet I read about, where he says to God, you have deceived me. You have deceived me. In other words, Jeremiah is looking at this ministry under Josiah, but he doesn't have a clue that Josiah is going to die. He doesn't have a clue that the ministry is going to fall apart. He doesn't have a clue that at this time that it's all going to go down the drain. He doesn't think that way. He's looking at Josiah, this great king, and the revival. Hey, praise God, amen. I've seen revival, and some of us in this building have seen revival, but we're in a day we're not having revival. There's no need to lie about it. There's no need to pretend about it. There's no need to make any false statements about it. We're in a decline that we have never, ever experienced before. Jeremiah, no doubt, boy, in the heyday of Josiah, and seeing all the things that were taking place, it had to be exciting. It had to be thrilling. It had to see the temple rebuilt and restored. Actually, it was not rebuilt, but restored, because it had come to such a disrepair under Manasseh and Ammon. They had destroyed the place, amen. It was filled with trash and garbage. They had to go in and clean it out. It was nasty. The Word of God had laid back, and nobody even knew where it was. But under Josiah, that great revival took place. But all of a sudden, Jeremiah's ministry has changed. He's now unacceptable. He's now unwanted. He's now despised. His message is no longer what they want. And friend, listen, God has not changed his message. God has not changed. And Jeremiah can't understand all that's taking place in his life. He said, I feel like God's turned his back on me. I feel like God's forsook me. He said in verse 4, my flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Jeremiah said, where God has placed me, I can't get out of it. I'm in a rut and I can't get out. I preach and they hate me. I preach and they despise me. I preach and they slap me. I preach and they put me in prison. I tell them what God said. God says, tell them this, and they hate me more. He couldn't understand that place. I can understand him in his understanding coming out of the revival of Josiah. I mean, he didn't know Josiah was going to die. He was broken when Josiah went down there, just like I and others have wept reading Josiah. Josiah, why are you going down there for? You're having a revival. What are you doing? What are you leaving that place? What are you getting in trouble for? May I say to you, it bothers me today when I preach over my congregation or any congregation and I see a family going the wrong way and I see them headed down the wrong road and I think, in God's name, what are they doing? Where are they going? What are they expecting to happen? Can't they see what's happened in the past? Can't they see? Josiah's in this, maybe it's his pride he's in this. He's I don't know what he's thinking, amen. But he dies there. And Jeremiah now is left with this ministry, with these others that's coming on the scene. You know, I want to tell you something. When the election got stolen, it crushed a lot of Christians. I want to tell you something, buddy. There's a lot of Christians that had more hope in Trump than they had in the King James Bible. If he's running today, I'd vote for him because I'm not voting for him as a pastor. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. We've got a God who sits on a throne who is real every day, and he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Jeremiah's looking at his life and what's transpiring in his life. He said, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayers. And he says, I'm praying. I'm asking God. I'm praying God. Well, he said, the summer is ended and the harvest is past, or the harvest is past, the summer is ended. I'm black with astonishment. I don't understand this. I can't figure it out. Why are they not saved? Why are they not saved? Is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Can't they see what God could do? He could not understand. He could not comprehend a people who was going to be destroyed and would not listen to God. I'll tell you what, if you preach today in the world we live in, you're going to have some of them moments. Why in the world won't the world listen? How can they be so foolish? How can they be so blind? How can they be so ignorant? Amen. You can't go to college long enough to get that stupid. Amen. He says, he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. In other words, just like the song, I prayed for sunshine and God sent the rain. Listen, life has never been promised to be pleasant. Life has never been one of the problems we're having today, we've raised a generation that's been told you can do anything, you can have anything, you can go anywhere, you can do it. Nobody's ever to do you wrong. I'm telling you, life's not fair anyway itself. It's not fair in itself, amen. Life's never been fair. Life's never been fair. Wasn't fair to Abel when Cain slew his own brother, was it? And Cain was righteous in his, Abel was righteous and Cain was wicked and he slew his brother, amen. We're in a society today that expects everything to be handed to them, and if we're not careful, we're in a church today that expects everything to go well for them if they're saved, and that's not going to happen. So Jeremiah is in despair. He says, he hath turned aside my ways and pull me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He said, God made me a target. as he preached on the streets of Jerusalem, and they abused him and mistreated him. And God told him when he was a young man, you're to preach the preaching. You're to preach the word that I tell you. And here he is preaching it, and they're whooping him and beating him and arresting him. And he said, God's turned me into a target. He didn't understand. He couldn't comprehend. We're in a world that's mixed up and messed up. If you're expecting this world to be pleasant to you, if you're going to live for God, you're mistaken. Now, you may do like they did. They had many pastors, the Bible said. But those pastors were allowing their people, the Bible said, to do things that they used to blush from, and now no longer did they blush. He said his people used to blush in certain circumstances, and he says now they did not blush anymore. My friend, I've seen more flesh in some churches in the last little while of my life than I've seen growing up as a boy in the street, amen. Are you listening? What we're seeing is the same relaxing that Jeremiah saw. They relaxed their standards. They relaxed where they stood. They relaxed where they lived. They relaxed the lifestyle that they accepted. And God was bitter about it. And God was against it. Amen. And the old man of God, Jeremiah, was not loved and liked like he was 25 years ago. And he says, God's putting me in these places. He said, he's turned me into a target. The arrows keep flying at me. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Jeremiah felt totally forsaken of God. He felt his ministry had been pulled through his fingers and that he had become a laughingstock just doing God's will and preaching God's word. It ain't always going to be pleasant to stand on the street corner and preach the word of God, but the word of God is always right. It is not always going to be pleasant. But I'm going to say God is still God, and the word of God is still real, and serving God is still right, and nothing has changed. And Jeremiah is fighting these things and battling these things. In verse 20 he says, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. And verse 21 turns Jeremiah's complete 180 degrees. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. He began to recall the God of his early life. And he began to recall the truth. And I want to preach this morning a few minutes on this thought. How to have hope in a time of hopelessness. Jeremiah went through all of this, and his life is now aged, and he's growing up in years, and his body is frail, and he has went through torment and anguish and despair, and he saw his ministry go to nothing. He's watched his nation collapse to ruin. He's watched the horrifying thing. He was inside Jerusalem in those 2 years of the siege when they pulled him out of that dungeon. They said, you can have a piece of bread and some water every day. This is the man of God that preaches the truth. This is the preacher that God sent that they hated and despised. But he said, I begin to recall in my mind. He said, I begin to think backwards. Boy, I will tell you what, thank God. I'm glad I've got some recall. I'm glad I can look in years past. My vision is clear this way because I have some that way. I can think about tomorrow with a lot better hope because I can think about yesterday. And here's what Jeremiah said. He said, I begin to recall in my mind. Now here's a man that's totally obliterated mentally. He's broken. He says, God has forgot me. God has forsook me. God has turned me into a target. God has let everything go bad in my life. God has not kept his promise to me. But I'm still serving him. And he said, then I begin to think. You know, a whole lot of thinking will help your thinking. Amen. He said, I begin to look backwards. He said, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He said, it is just the mercy of God. We're not in hell already. When you realize you deserve to be in hell, when you realize hell is where you ought to be, amen, then anything above that's better, amen. And you'll be thankful for a lot less if you realize you ought to be frying like a frog leg in hell this morning. And because of Jesus, you don't have to be. Amen. He said, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I tell you how that little fella in the nursing home, about 80 or 90 pounds, I tell you how he can go through this day and tomorrow. He's looking ahead to the one who died on the cross that's coming back to get him. And he's looking for the moment, just like my little grandpa used to hold his little hands up and say, Jesus, I'm waiting on you to come and get me. I'm waiting on you to come and get me. I'm ready to go. Come and get me today. Hallelujah, praise God. Because of drugs and dope and everything else, most folks don't get to hear that in their loved ones when they're making the crossing, amen. But thank God there is a reality in being ready to meet God and serving the Lord. He said, I began to recall anything is better than what we deserve. It is his mercies. It is the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because his compassions fail not. And then he made this statement, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He realized, oh God, how great every day, no matter how I've thought, no matter how I've battled my emotions, no matter how I've battled these feelings, I woke up this morning and you were still merciful and your mercy was new again today. And I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah could be one who could testify out loud, we need God's mercy every day. Amen. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar come in, God said Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. That's what God said. God took a heathen king and said, he's my servant. He's going to do what I say. When the Babylonian army left, before they got back to Babylon, God spoke to them. They didn't understand that and turned them around and brought them right back to Jerusalem and obliterated Jerusalem. Tore the temple down, burnt down the houses, burnt the gates, tore down the walls, ripped all the gold and brass out of the house of God, carried the priests away. I'm talking about they leveled the place, amen. And Jeremiah stood there and watched it all happen. When he knew they could have been spared. Boy, he was shattered. And old Nebuchadnezzar said, is there a man here by the name of Jeremiah? Is there someone here by the name of Jeremiah? Jeremiah probably didn't have a clue what was fixing to happen. He said, I'm Jeremiah. He said, you go free. You're allowed. You can go with us if you want to go. You can stay. You can do whatever you want to do. But we've got a word from God. You're to be left alone. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Old Jeremiah said, my, I never expected this, amen. I wasn't prepared for that event in my life. He said, his mercy is new every morning. His compassions fail not. He's faithful. I'm talking about a man that had been torn to pieces for God and wouldn't quit. but felt forsaken and felt in despair and felt like no one cared, and he felt like God would not hear him anymore. And he said, I'm preaching what he says, but it only brings me more heartache and more grief. I'm going to say something to young men in this church and us too that's preaching today. There's going to be a day, friend, we're going to be less loved all the time. The Bible said they had pastors who just said them smooth things, and they loved to have it so. Jeremiah said, look, Lord, they love those other pastors. Look what they're doing to me. He said, they love that. They love that. But God says he's not deceived us. He told us in the last days that's what would be. They would heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear great, deep theological things, but they don't want anything to constrain their lifestyle. Jeremiah said, you're doing things that embarrass God. You're doing things that bring reproach upon the Lord. You're doing things that hurt the name of God. You're doing things that bring disdain to his law. They laughed at Jeremiah and said, we have the temple. We have the priesthood. We have it all. Look what we have. How can you say we're not of God? I tell you how Jeremiah said it. Because God is displeased with it. Amen. Are we listening? Thank God for old-fashioned holiness. Thank God for old-fashioned purity. Thank God for old-fashioned preaching. Praise God. I'm telling you, God has not changed in 2021. If we never vote in another Republican, it won't change God. He said, God is faithful. Here, he is an old man. His life is shattered. His life is in despair. He cannot understand what's taking place. But he said, I know one thing. He said, God is merciful. He said, I know God is merciful. He said, I know God is faithful. I know God is compassionate. And then he said in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I tell you, when Josiah died, a lot of hope went out of Jeremiah. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When this world flip-flopped, when this country flip-flopped last November, there's a lot of hope and peace went out of a lot of believers in independent Baptist churches. Solid. Jeremiah said, wait a minute. I'm going to look backwards. I'm looking backwards. He said, I'm going to recall some stuff. He said, I serve a God who is merciful. I serve a God who's compassionate. I serve a God whose mercy is new every morning. I serve a God who's faithful. And I serve a God who will be my portion. I'm going to trust him. It don't matter if the Babylonian Empire wipes it all out. Whatever God does is right. Amen. My hope's not in Trump. My hope's not in the midterm elections. Somebody said, oh, the midterm elections. I said, hey, you don't have a clue, and neither do I, what's going to happen in the midterm elections. And it don't make any difference if God says it's done for, it's done for. We better put our hope in Jesus Christ, and we better trust him. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Vote Republican and hope for Jesus to come. Jeremiah, there's no way to read everything in the chapter. It's so much. He said, I'm going to hope in him. Verse 25, he said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Here's an old man who saw his whole life destroyed. He saw his ministry completely obliterated. There's nothing left for him. He saw the city surrounded by the military until they're eating their own flesh and drinking their own urine. 2 years they circled Jerusalem in besiegement. That means they ain't nobody went in and nobody went out. They didn't grow no gardens. They didn't do nothing. Jeremiah's watching this. And he says, look. If y'all just turn all the servants, you've got Hebrew slaves, turn them all loose. Turn them all loose, and God could spare us. Because that's what God told Jeremiah to tell him. Oh, we'll do that. The army started moving away. Oh, we've got what we want now. They brought them all back. It's amazing how fast people can make a commitment and then throw it away. In the day we're living in, We're losing old-fashioned stability where people come to an altar and said, I'm going to serve God, live right, I'm going to dress right, I'm going to walk right, I'm going to spit white, and I'm going to do it, and they do it the rest of their life. They throw the wicked junk out, the wicked dress out, the wicked music out, the wicked trash out, and live for God. Jeremiah saw him like a yo-yo. God brought the army back and literally obliterated. Then Jeremiah says, verse 29, he puts his mouth in the dust. He begins to think about God and how merciful and gracious he is. And I believe this is a messianic thought toward Jesus Christ giving himself for our sins. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. It's God that's going to be hope. That's not in me. It's not in my life. It's not in nothing else. The hope's not in this temple. The hope's not in this priesthood. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. I'm telling you, there's an end to suffering. There's an end to shame. There's an end to sorrow. God's got a better day for me and you. I don't care what happens between now and the rapture. We've got a better day coming for us. Amen. God is so good. Verse 39. Jeremiah's whole attitude has changed from verse 1 to verse 39. Wherefore doth a living man complain? I'm alive, he said. How can I complain? How can I complain? He says, wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in heaven, in the heavens. He said, we have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. He said, the reason is we're not turning back to you. The whole problem is us, not you, God. We need an old-fashioned day of hard preaching and repentance. He is our portion. He is everything we need. It's not the Republican Party. They're not going to save us. I hear a lot of things. Boy, we need to turn. Boy, it'd be good to go back to a day when, you know, there was sensibility in education and the school teacher, man looked like a man and woman looked like a woman and the doctor had good sense and everybody was bright and the politicians were to some degree honest. That come from the book. That come from the church. The church made this nation that way. The Bible made this nation. The nation didn't make the church. The church made the nation. But when the church went away from God, it also stripped the nation. In Jeremiah's day, when they begin to bring pastors in that would please them and begin to bring men of God in, they claim to be men of God that would not talk about their sin, and they begin to let them live like they wanted to. They thought, we've achieved our utopia. We've arrived. We have accomplished what we have. And since no problem come immediately, they felt they had arrived at their place that they'd been trying to get to. Jeremiah said, that ain't going to get you nowhere. That's going to get you in trouble. And they hated Jeremiah for it. That's where we're at today, friend. And it's not just the big worship centers now. It's independent Baptist churches. It's independent. It's not just the Southern Baptist. It's not just that. It's not just that little fly-by-night religious circle down the road. It's in our ranks, and it's flooding us. It's flooding us. Thank God for this church. You better protect it. You better shield it. You better protect your preacher. You better stand behind him. You better say, God, help us. Because I'm going to tell you something, friend. What's coming down the road is far worse than what we've seen. If you're not in a good church, I'd get in a good church. Amen. Old Jeremiah, when old Nebuchadnezzar then said, is anybody around here named Jeremiah? I bet old Jeremiah said, boy, I thank God I stayed faithful. I thank God I stayed faithful. Anybody by the name of Jeremiah, God's got a message for him. You're allowed to do whatever you want. We're not carrying you away in captivity. Now, if you'd like to go with us, you're welcome to go. You'll be a free man. Old Jeremiah said, boy, I tell you what, serving God has paid off. He says, the Lord is faithful to those who wait. Waiting has never been easy. And waiting will always have some form of difficulty. I don't care what you're waiting on. If you're waiting on your retirement and wondering where it's going to be there when you get there. If you're waiting on that doctor's report. If you're waiting on that surgery. We've got folks in here getting to have surgery pretty soon. If you're waiting on this or that. Waiting is difficult. Waiting is hard. Waiting is tough. Waiting on that child to get saved. Waiting on that individual to get right with God. That husband to straighten up. Or that wife. I'm telling you, waiting is tough. But God honors those who wait. And will be faithful to Him while they wait. We're waiting on Him. We're waiting on the trumpet. Praise God. We're waiting on the sound of His voice. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're fixing to check out of this world. Amen. You say, preacher, you think it's going to be anything like, well, I'll tell you what the Bible says. Jesus said, He pointed out, He said, I'll tell you what, He said, there's some folks, a few. He said, there's a few there, kept their garments white. Few. He said, they've honored me. And then He said, here's a few that is not steeped to that wickedness. He said, they have not followed that false doctrine. And there's a few here. He said, there's some that's heard my voice. They've heard me knocking. And they've opened the door. And I've come in and sat with them. He said, they're going to sit with me on my throne. Yeah, they're going to be an honorable day for the believer who's been faithful to God. But those who've looked for a compromising, slack, loose way to go are going to regret it on that day. He said, we don't have no complaints. If we searched our own heart and tried our own reins and looked at ourselves, He said, we see that everything God does is just. God makes no mistakes. God doesn't do anything wrong. He will rescue us one way or another. Look in verse number 50, and I'm skipping a lot of things, but I don't want to lose everything out. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. That's what we're waiting on. When He says, it's enough. Go get your children. Go get your bride. He said he's not going to sit around any. He's going to leave heaven immediately. Tarry not. No, He's not going to tarry. He said, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. I'm going to tell you what's killing us today. We can see what's happening. I go into a mall, I go into a grocery store, I go into a place, and I see people that don't even know they're naked. And I know they're naked. I see people that don't even know they're going down a broad road to hell. But I know they're going. Because I can see. You know what it does? It affects my heart. Because I can see. But we're in a world, the Bible says, the blind is leading the blind, and they cannot see. They cannot see. They hear and hear not, and see not. And God is trying to wake up a few. And if I was in this building this morning, I'd rub my eyes a little bit. And I'd wake up. Hey, you can't walk out of this building. You can't walk. You'll see more wicked. I can walk through the mall today, and I'll see more wickedness than my grandfather saw in his whole lifetime. In one day. One day. We better wake up and realize God is gathering a remnant. He had a remnant then. Daniel was one of those in that remnant. God's always got a remnant. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I ain't got time to go there, but He's got a remnant. He says, verse 58, O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. We're waiting on that final redemption moment. He's going to snatch us out of here. We're waiting on the day, if the Lord doesn't check us out before then, I could die today. Any of us could die today. Our soul and spirit go to be with the Lord. We'd come back with Him in the clouds. He'd call our body up, reunite together. We'd be reunited with all the saints of God. But if we're alive when the rapture takes place, we're going to be changed the moment, twinkle of an eye. We're all going to be called up to clouds together, amen. It's going to be a glorious moment. And He's going to redeem every bit of us. Our body is going to be in that redemption. So if we're alive, He's going to change our vile body in the likeness of His glorious body. If we have died and our body is in the grave and we're with Him, soul and spirit, then He's going to resurrect that body, a glorious body. And we're going to be reunited together, amen. He began to look backwards, and it caused him to look forwards. He began to look back at what the God he knew in the beginning, and he said, that God hasn't changed. Right. Right. That God has not changed. He is still merciful. He's the same God. He's still compassionate. He's still caring. He's still faithful. He is going to do what He said. He is going to fulfill His word. And He said He's going to redeem me. And He's going to bring judgment on the enemies of God. This morning, it's already been said, we're edging. I mean, listen, the trumpet could sound before we get through the invitation. God may leave us here a day, a year, 10 years. None of us know the day and the hour. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We know it's nigh and even at the door. We've never seen so many unfoldings of prophecy in such clarity as we're seeing it today. If I was here this morning and I was living on the liberal side of the fence, I'd run to God so fast that I'd burn blisters on the carpet. And I said, dear God, I do not want to be found like this. I do not want to be in this shape. I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you. Old Jeremiah. He said, anybody here by the name of Jeremiah? Yeah, I'm right here. He said, you're a free man, Jeremiah. You're a free man. I said, old Jeremiah, I said, boy, I tell you what. It's paid off to serve the Lord. It's been real profitable to be faithful. Are you listening? Despair does come. I'd be a liar to tell you it never happened to me. I'd be a liar to tell you there's never discouragement, never despondency. What I've got to do, Brother King, I've got to have a little recall. I've got to go back and say, wait a minute. The God that saved me is still on the throne. That God that had mercy on me that day, He still rules the universe. He still stands over all. And He has not changed. Oh, yes, the world's changing. The church is changing. But God is not changing. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for Jeremiah, a man of God, that you used to give us encouragement and example. Thank you for, Lord, what you're doing today. Progress Baptist Church, thank you for 10 years. Lord, you've given Brother Raines and his wife and family to serve here, and the people love them, and I thank you for that. Lord, let us be real. Let us be watching. Let us be waiting. Let us not change as everything unfolds in our faces as we see your word fulfilled. And we'll be glad we did. When we hear your voice, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.